The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium, Episode 7. I am your host, Michael Kist. This is all powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Look, I don't like losing, same as you guys, but it's important to understand the how and the why of what happened in this loss to the Carolina Panthers, which is why I find these press conferences so useful. That said, the lineup for this show is Doug Peterson's presser directly after the game, followed by Carson Wentz today, and then Doug Peterson from today that I'm sure you saw quotes from all over your timeline if you're on the Twitter machine. They were pretty hard to avoid. Doug talked about the Eagles forcing or pressing, and there's a lot of merit to that. Guys trying to make plays outside of what their responsibility is. And we talked on the Kist and Solak recap show about Carson Wentz occasionally devolving into hero ball, but it's not limited to him. It's a team issue too, which unfortunately doesn't make it better, and it's something that the coaching staff will have to stress, with the mantra being similar to Bill Belichick's staple, quote-unquote, do your job. There's plenty more in these, including Doug Peterson getting defensive over a question about play calling, so give it a listen. As painful as it is, let's get to it.
Doug, you held them to, I think, 106 yards of total offense before those final three possessions. What happened?
Well, quite frankly, it just, we didn't make enough plays offensively, defensively in the second half. You know, we had opportunities to get off the field. Defensively, we didn't. We had opportunities to stay on the field offensively, and we didn't. And so, you know, it's something we just got to take a look at. We got to get, you know, there were some positive things, obviously, but those are areas that have hurt us in a couple of games, you know, this season already.
What changed in the fourth quarter?
They just made more plays. Nothing changed. Same guys, same people out there. They just made more plays than we did. So really, schematically, nothing changed. We just didn't make enough in the second half of this game.
Once you get down there on the final possession on the pass interference play, Wendell go for about 8 yards. Can you take us through the thought process there on the play calling? What are you trying to do there? Are you just get in the end zone, get the first down?
We had to get in the end zone, you know, to win the game. And our thought there was, you know, give Carson a pass and audible to it, you know, give him a run. So if they play a certain defense, we could get to the run, and we were able to do that, and we got positive yards, and then get right back on the ball and go tempo a little bit right there and try to get the first down. Still had timeouts, you know, so we still had a lot of options available to us with the amount of time and timeouts in the game. So trying to get the first down, but ultimately trying to get in the end zone.
On the 4th and 10 conversion they had, what did you see?
felt like that. I believe it was Jalen at the time. May have slipped. May have fell down. And just Torrey was standing right there, wide open. We were real close to getting to camp and getting him on the ground at the time. And you know, we were just a step behind.
At 17-14, you went 3-and-out offensively there. What sputtered?
We didn't execute. You know, we just broke down. You know, and we can't have that. And those are things that our guys pride themselves on. You know, whether it's, you know, I'll go back and look at you know, the couple of calls, play calls there, see if I can do a little better there, help our team out there. And we had an opportunity on the third down. Alshon, 24, you know, Bradbury for them came back and really recovered well. Alshon was wide open, and 24 just came back and just got a hand in there late and knocked the ball away, or otherwise we're on the field at that point too.
What was the message to the team after a collapse like this?
Well, the message is that, you know, quite frankly, and I told him, I says, you know, we have to learn from these. These are games that galvanize football teams, and this is going to do that. This is going to bring us even closer together. Basically told him that, hey, pressure's off of us. Nobody on the outside world has given us a chance to do much of anything, and pressure's off, so we can go play, have fun, and just relax. And a lot of football ahead too. You know, we still have a bunch of games, and still anything's possible, anything can happen, and you know, we still treat it as one week at a time.
You guys lost a game earlier this season where you were ahead 17-3 in the second half. What did you not learn from that one? I mean, is there some kind of connective thread there between what happened in Nashville and what's happened here?
Well, 4th and 15, 4th and 10. We just got to go look at those two plays, and that's probably the answer. So we've got to, you know, as players and coaches, make sure that we're putting our guys in position. And then secondly, we got to execute the play. Flat out, this is a player's game, right? Players have to make plays. And you know, we try to, as coaches, we put them in position to be successful. And so we got to evaluate that and just coach better and play better.
Is working on a way you close out games something you'll be looking to work on, say, this week for the rest of the season?
Well, I think we're going to be working on a lot of things, but that's one of them. You know, we talk about finishing all the time, and it just doesn't mean, you know, the first half of games. We got to finish the second half too.
Are other teams making adjustments that you're not adjusting to?
No. I mean, Carolina, you know, just stuck to their game plan. You know, nothing we didn't expect. So, no.
The way Carson played?
Well, I thought overall, you know, pretty good. I think his numbers were decent. I haven't looked at the actual stat deal, but, you know, bottom line is we lost. And so it's not an individual sport. He's part of it, obviously, and did some good things. And we got to take a look at the whole pie right now.
What do you mean by the pressure's off? Say to your team, the pressure's on?
Well, number one, I think Sal, you know, no one has really given us a chance anyway. Whether we're putting pressure on ourselves to perform, you know, to play, whatever it is, you know, live up to a certain expectation. I think that, you know, it's that point where you know, I think that no one has given us that type of, you know, maybe with the amount of injuries or whatever it is, giving us much credit, you know, going into games. And I think sometimes we force issues, you know, we try to press just a little bit instead of just, you know, we don't have to go searching for plays. We just, when the plays come, let's just make the plays that come to us. And right now we're not doing that. So I think that's the pressure that's off of us, and we just have to get back to playing and executing better.
Just to be clear, Doug, are you saying that the players are feeling pressure to live up to what you guys accomplished last year?
No, I don't think so. I just think that each week, and this is something I've talked about all season, is when we talk about embracing something, it's a choice, and we know that we get everybody's best every week, and you know, it's a good football team. You know, Carolina's a playoff caliber team. They were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. It's a good football team, and we know that, you know, we don't use injury, we don't use whatever it might be as an excuse not to perform. And so, you know, sometimes I think players, coaches just put added pressure when they don't have to. you know, and that's something that we've got to, you know, starts with me there and just making sure that we're doing everything, even during the week, getting ourselves in positions to win games.
So as a follow-up to that, you're still the defending Super Bowl champs. I mean, that doesn't change.
Right.
At 3-4, do you really think that pressure is off you guys?
No, it won't be, but it doesn't have to come from us. You know, it doesn't have to come, you know, there's enough pressure. Just the game itself brings its own sort of pressure. We don't have to go force anything. We don't have to go, you know, go, like I said earlier, you don't have to go looking for plays. Let the plays come to you and then make them when they come. And that's where we're at.
Doug, as a play caller real quick, when you see the momentum shift like it did drastically, are you aware of that? You mentioned it's a player's game. But do you feel the need to kind of fuel things when you see the momentum change?
Yeah, I mean, you feel it and you sense it. I don't think it necessarily has to get you out of your rhythm offensively because I thought we were doing some good things. You know, even in the run game, RPOs, play action pass, you know, some of the things that we were able to take advantage of. But yeah, no, I didn't feel like I had to get ultra aggressive or anything like that just because the tide was sort of changing just a little bit there in a second half.
I mean, we had chances to win there at the end. Offensively, we had a chance to seal the deal the drive before, really the two drives before. We just didn't do it. So, you know, when you're on the field at the end like that with a shot, ball's in your hand, and you don't win, it's frustrating.
Carson, why do you think the offense wasn't as productive in the second half as it was in the first?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. It's a culmination of things. You got to go back and watch the tape, but yeah, I mean, that's just not a way for us to finish a game. You know, I thought we were moving the ball well, you know, early, kind of did some things well that we know we're capable of, and then almost just seemed like we let off the gas as an offense and just stopped making plays.
Carson, how do you guys recover from a loss like this? I mean, you had a similar loss against Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and now this one. I mean, how do you guys keep it from spiraling?
Yeah, I mean, you just isolate this game in this week and then move on to the next. You know, you learn from it. You know, I could sound like a broken record every time we lose up here, but it's on to the next. You know, there's no time to feel sorry for yourself. There's no time to be pissed about it. You know, you got to learn from it quick and bounce back next week.
What did you see on those final two plays?
Yeah, I mean, the fourth down, I saw Alshon open across the middle late, and as I stepped up, tried to make the throw, got hit, and the ball came out, and the play before, I just tried to force one in there that I probably shouldn't have.
On the interception, I was
saying that in the fourth quarter, like, kind of like all of a sudden they were blowing up plays that they didn't have, what their defense was. Was that just something that kind of caught you off guard? Do you think it was just because you kind of let off the gas a little bit?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's really hard to say right now. Got to watch the tape and see what where our errors kind of were. But I know later in the game we didn't stay ahead of the chains well and resulted in some tough third downs that we just weren't able to stay on the field.
What happened on that interception that was overruled at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a miscommunication on Zach and my part. You know, we got to get that ironed out, and we will.
It seemed like you just took some time by your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, obviously extremely frustrated about this game and just really just praying just to ease my mind, ease my heart going forward.
You guys have had some stretches this year where you guys have really gotten rolling and it looks like you've kind of turned a corner and then it just kind of, you know, you hit that wall. What is it going to take to get that consistency back?
That's a good question. You know, we're going to find out what we're made of now going forward. I feel like we said that 2 weeks ago, saying it again. You know, we're at, you know, make or break time almost, so to speak. But, yeah, it's hard to say exactly what it's going to take. But, again, we know what we can do. We do it, you know, here and there in some weeks, but we just got to put it all together.
Rhode Alshon, you mentioned in the end zone that maybe you shouldn't have done that. Was there another read to get to, or maybe you should have just taken off and scrambled? What was kind of going through your head as you look back on it?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to give him a shot to make a play. I got to get the ball up higher if I'm going to do that. And, again, I got to see the tape. There might have been another guy open.
Has closing out games become a problem for you guys, or is it something that you all can just work on in practice when you're going, you know, next game out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you know, work on closing out games, so to speak, in practice, but it's something that we got to do. You know, without a doubt, it's something I thought we did well last year. I think we've shown that we can do it. But really, offensively, you know, we gotta look hard in the mirror, myself included, and know late in games we gotta be better.
The message from Doug, at least to us, is that the pressure is off you guys now. Or have you guys felt that week-to-week pressure in the Super Bowl?
And I mean, up with it? You know, I think this town, the way I carry myself, the way really everyone in that locker, we put high expectations on ourselves every week. You know, whether we are 7-9 my rookie year, we were, you know, on that hot stretch last year, it doesn't matter. You know, I think we put high expectations on ourselves to go out, and my approach will never change, win or lose, on to the next week, and that's the way I'm going to approach it.
Thanks, Carson.
Thanks, guys.
Afternoon. How are we doing? Good. I didn't even look at you.
After spending the offseason talking about embracing the target and the new normal, why is the message now the pressure's off and people are counting you out?
Yeah, I think what you have to understand is I was asked a question about you know, the locker room and what how I addressed the football team, and part of that was just saying that, you know, listen, no one gives us a rat's, you know, winning or losing. They don't. They've kind of written us off, so to speak. And so from that standpoint, yeah, there's probably the pressure should be off. We shouldn't have any pressure going into football games, even though, listen, every game, don't misunderstand, there's pressure with every football game, okay? Pressure to win, there's all of that. Sometimes players, coaches, teams put pressure on themselves when they don't have to, you know what I mean, to make a play. I talk to this team a lot about, you know, you don't have to go looking for plays. There's enough out there. Plays are going to come to you, and when they come to you, make the play in the game. You know, I believe, you know, Carolina had 58 or 9 plays in the game, right? So you don't have to make them all. It's like we talk to the quarterback all the time. You don't have to go make every play. Let the offense work. So I think sometimes we put that added pressure on top of us, you know, and sometimes that can affect, you know, the way guys play. So that's just been my message to the team, you know, particularly after the game. So that was the question that was asked, and that was just part of that message.
So why do you think guys are doing that?
I think guys want to perform. They want to play well. You know, they're professionals. There's an expectation. I talk a lot about, you know, holding guys accountable. And we've got some new faces out there, you know, I think that's all part of the process, and I just wanted to reiterate to the team that you don't have to do that. You just go play, relax, have fun. You know, again, as we talked about, there's enough pressure in these games to perform, to coach, to win. You know, it's hard. It's hard to win games. You know, and we do everything we can to do that.
Did you see Carson maybe try to do too much on those last couple drives, trying to make play when maybe there was a better play there?
Well, I think again, that's a quarterback's nature, is to try to make the play. I know this. I want the ball in Carson's hands at the end of the game. I want him having control of helping us win a football game, and then the guys doing their job. So we're going to continue to work through it. We're going to continue to coach and teach and instruct. But at the end of the day, you know, I want the ball in his hands to help us win a game.
At the end of the third quarter, you have a 3-score lead. The rest of the way, the other team averages almost 9 yards a snap. Sorry.
Correct.
Is that a problem with scheme or personnel?
You know, I look at it, and it's not either, really. You look at personnel and you go, okay, is it lack of pass rush? Well, no, we still put pressure on Cam. Is it maybe we can tackle a little bit better, you know, in the back end? I think sometimes we allow too many yards after contact. I think there's some of that involved. I think guys have to understand situations of the where we are in the game and the timing of it and the score. And, you know, there's a lot of things. I talk about situational ball all the time with the football team and understanding that and playing for 60 minutes and finishing. We just didn't do that yesterday. And offense, you know, I mean, yeah, you could maybe sit here and point the finger at the defense, but the offense had a chance to win the game at the end and didn't. Special teams, we missed a field goal early in the game, difference of the football game. So there's enough to go around that I think we can all we can all look at and get better from.
As a play caller, what do you think is missing from the offense from a personnel standpoint?
I mean, you look at the stats. I mean, if you're talking about the running game, I mean, a lot of our runs are RPO runs. There's throws mixed in. I think yesterday, I mean, you're talking about a big, physical, powerful Carolina defense, okay? Tough team to run the football against anyway. But yet we came out with, you know, 300-plus yards passing and very efficient there and took advantage of some things in the passing game. So, you know, I think we're – you know, we're right where we need to be from the standpoint of personnel. We got to make sure that we win the game during the week, right? If you win the game on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, chances are you're going to win the game on Sunday. And so that's where it starts. It begins with our preparation. So, you know, we had opportunity. I mean, you look at Alshon had a tremendous game. Zach had a tremendous game passing down the field. Of course, Carson. You know, the running game, we were just a little off up front, you know, missed a couple double teams. There's, you know, those two dudes are about 700 pounds in there. So, you know, those are big guys trying to get out of the way. So, you know, credit them too. And Keekly's a smart guy. He ran behind some blocks. He's fast. He tackled us for loss. I mean, those are all things that you're going up against when you're talking about, you know, a team like Carolina.
Okay, in the first half, do you feel like that, you know, you weren't aggressive enough? You had the ball with your own 4:10 left and ran the ball 3 times and burned a minute off the clock?
No. We had a 10-point lead at that time, and I believe we had the long screen.
Yeah.
Came back. So
that was after a minute.
Yeah, we had the screen, and we were out past the 50, and then at that point we were going to go score. So when that penalty put us back just a little bit, you know, you're back behind in the field position with a long way to go at that time. So I felt like we were okay in that situation.
What about the downfield when you got the ball back up?
Listen, we can sit here in hindsight 2020. I did what I did.
No, I mean, in terms of throwing the ball downfield, a lot
in
of
the first
passes.
Half?
No. Second half, when you guys get the ball up, you guys were 17-6, you got the ball back. And then, of course, when you get the ball back at 17-14, there were a lot of passes that were short.
Take out the 2-minute drive, and I had 3 runs, 6 passes. I called 3 runs, 2 of them RPOs, and they were completed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Kept the clock running. Positive gains. So I called 3 runs, 6 passes to break it down.
Yeah. But Carson, at that point, I completed 23 of 27 passes for 10.4 yards per attempt. And after that, the yards per attempt dropped drastically. Did you feel like the balls are, you know,
so you're saying
more opportunities down?
You're saying I should have thrown the ball down the field.
I'm not saying anything. I'm wondering if you felt you should have thrown the ball more down the field.
No.
Okay.
Did you feel like your defense got gassed?
Third down, we were talking about this morning, the 3rd and 2, you know, in the last possession. Was that another, like, a pass run thing? That
was not.
No, okay.
That was a straight pass.
Doug, did you feel like the defense wore down?
Yeah, it was a pass.
The defense wore down in the fourth quarter. Did you sense that looking at film?
I didn't sense that at all. No, looking back on it today, I didn't feel that at all.
You said one of your players.
Doug, we talk about finishing games a lot. Is there something tangible to that, or is that more of, like you said, you got to win the week, and that shows up on Sunday? Or is there?
Well, it's tangible from the standpoint. I think you do that in practice during the week. Make every play during practice. If you're going to make a mistake, make it during the week so that you can get it corrected. And then the next day, if you're given that opportunity again, you can finish that play. You make the right, you know, you make the right decision in practice, and then you learn how to finish. And these are all parts of, I think, things that. You know, as coaches, we try to put our players through situations. That's why you go through OTAs. That's why you do training camp. And you get into games and you try to, you know, yeah, you're trying to play for this full 60 minutes. I mean, that's without a doubt. I think everybody can agree to that. And when you don't, I got to look at myself, and then we all have to look in the mirror and say, hey, what could I have done to prevent, you know, this type of loss?
That messaging of the pressure is off is very similar to what you guys had last year, us versus them, the underdogs. Was that a mindset at all that you want to have brought back, that you want what worked last year back with this team right now?
Well, I think a part of it can be that. I think it's an important part of kind of where we are, kind of the identity of the football team. I think, too, the other thing is, and I was talking with Dave Spadaro this morning about it, is, listen, when you win games – this, we're not talking about this stuff because winning cures everything, right? Winning cures, well, we're not winning. So now everything's exposed. So now we're going to sit here and scrutinize every little thing when these things were not being, you know, we were actually making these plays a year ago. You know what I'm saying? So now we're going to sit here and scrutinize everything and point the finger and point the blame game and do all of that when, quite frankly, you know, yeah, we can go back and use that as fuel, as emotion, but it's a different team, different year. We're in this situation. We've kind of dug ourselves in a little bit of a hole. And the great thing about where we are is we still control our division, right? We still have games in our division ahead of us. And quite, you know, we got, what, 9 games left? So there's just a lot of ball, a lot of football, and a lot of things can happen. We got a break coming up after an important game this week. Got a break. You know, hopefully we get some guys healthy second half of the season, and you know, we'll see where we're at.
In terms of closing out games and the run-pass ratio that's being discussed, is there anything to maybe not fully trusting your ground game? In other words, up 17-0 instead of, you know, grinding it out and winding down the clock. You know, you kind of went in the other direction. I mean, are you trusting your ground game?
I'm trusting it. I'm trusting it.
Do you have the personnel to do it?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Then how come that wasn't the approach?
Let me ask you to block 700-pound men sometimes. I mean, it's not because of lack of effort. It's not because of scheme. Listen, they get paid over there. They, being the defense, get paid a lot, Carolina, to make plays on us. And when it breaks down, it breaks down. You know, you run the ball on first and 10, and you lose 2, you're second and 12. Next thing you know, you go a little RPO pass or a play-action pass, you get sacked, you're 3rd and 18, okay? I mean, you know, those are all breakdowns that we need to correct and we need to fix. So it's not that I lose confidence in a run game. It's not that at all. I got a lot of confidence in a run game. I got a lot of confidence in that O-line room. Those guys are good, really good, and they're talented, and the backs are talented. And you know, it's still an aggressive mentality when I run, and it's still aggressive mentality when I throw, and it's always going to maintain that. We're always going to maintain that aggressiveness, and I have no lack of confidence whatsoever in our run game.
When you said you don't want your players to put extra pressure on themselves, what else can you do aside from tell them that? What else can you do to prevent that? Because as losses pile up, you naturally would think they'd press a little more.
Yeah, probably right.
What else can you do?
You just got to keep talking. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep battling through it, man. Sometimes human nature is going to say we got to do more when less is better. And maybe that's where we're at. Maybe we got to scale back just a little bit. You know, I'm just brainstorming here, but maybe offensively we scale back the amount of plays we have in. Maybe, I scale back in practice, whatever I can to keep the guys fresh and energized and jazzed, you know, going into games. Those are all things I got to assess in the next couple of days.
When you talk about the pressure, so I was wondering, how do you think you're handling the pressure?
From you guys? Great.
Or just in general.
I mean, listen, I got so much confidence in this football team. You don't understand. We're losing games by just a couple of plays. Okay, we lost the Tennessee game, 4th and 15. We lost yesterday. You could say the 4th and 10 play. You can almost say the last couple of plays of the game. Right? It's coming down to like 2-3 plays, and we're sitting here at 5-2, you know, instead of 3-4. So I mean, we're only talking about a couple of plays, and this thing's different. We're talking a whole another deal. So this team, I got so much confidence in this football team and this coaching staff that we're gonna get this fixed.
Just to follow up, because this has been a topic that's been kind of discussed all year. There's outside speculation from people that are not within the franchise's inner circle that with the departure of Coach Reich and DeFilippo, they're wondering the effect of that on decision-making in-game.
Listen, I've addressed that, and I'm not going to address it anymore. I'm done with that one.
Do you think there were enough blitzes down in the last two drives from defense? There weren't any called.
Blitzes?
Yeah.
Listen, is it going to change the outcome of the game? I don't know. I mean, you can blitz all you want, but you still got to cover down. You still got to, you know, it's I mean, we're sitting here again. I mean, you're asking me, should I run the ball more? Should we blitz more? I mean, what do you want me to, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
On the previous drive, Jim had blitzed twice, and both were incomplete passes. It seemed like it had been working early in the game as well. I'm just wondering if it was too much for him. He felt like it was too much of the four-man rush because nothing was working. It wasn't working clearly, right? So maybe switch it up
there. And this is something Jim and I, we'll address it. We'll talk about it later in today.
Why is that crazy?
Last one, please.
What's that?
Why is it crazy to ask if you should run the ball more or if the defense should blitz more? Why is that? Why do you
well, I mean, now you're getting into game plan stuff, and you're getting into scheme, and you guys aren't in there watching the tape like we are for, you know, 18 hours a day and putting the game plans together. And it's easy to sit in a press box and say, hey, they should run the ball. Come down and stand on the sideline with me and make decisions. You know, I should run it here. I should pass it here. Let's throw a screen here. Let's get the quarterback out of the pocket right here. Oh, no, there's 15 seconds left on the clock. I mean, so, you know, until you're down there with me on the sideline making in-game decisions, then, you know, I guess you can ask all you want.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.